completely and give you praise. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing.
Soul, you have been Savior and a friend, so merciful, so thank you, Jesus, for the
this morning we fix our eyes on you, the author, the perfecter of our faith. God, I pray this morning that we would be able to have eyes to see the realities of what is happening in the kingdom of God that is here and now, that your son Jesus came to bring and to invite us into. God, I pray that we would step into the mystery of the life that you have given us, God, that it would become more, a little more real this morning to us, a little more real than all the things that we can see and touch and that we get so caught up in and in the sin that so easily, as your word says, entangles us. God, I pray that you would give us a vision this morning, a new, fresh vision, Lord, of the reality of the life that you came to purchase for us and to invite us into that is sustained only by the blood of your son and by the animation of the spirit that you promised to us, Lord. God, give us a hunger and a thirst for the things that are real and lasting and eternal, Lord. God, we honor you. We honor you for what you've done in this place and in this church over the last 30 years and in the lives of all the people who have come through here. And most of all, we honor your faithfulness, Lord. God, continue your work here this morning, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. That's a good word. Amen. Well, you came to church, but you also came to a party. We're celebrating 30 years of God's faithfulness at Calvary Slow this morning. Amen. If we haven't met yet, my name is Jordan. I just want to welcome you if you're new. We've got coffee and refreshments that way. We've got bathrooms that way. And now we're going to enter into a time called the practice of hospitality. So just meet and greet someone around you. And for parents with kids, drop them off at kids ministry. We also have youth ministry today. So youth, go with your leaders. Thank you.
in here. And as Jordan mentioned, today's a little bit of a different Sunday morning than normal. We will be back in the Gospel of John next week. Today, we're going to just be doing something that we never, ever typically do. So just buckle up. It should be fun. And if this is your first time here, you picked a good Sunday to kind of jump in. And next week, the regular guy will be back. So what I want to say real quick is that we are celebrating actually 30 years as being a church. And I'll tell you a little bit about the story in just a moment. But before we even do, I was just talking with Pastor James Ray. If you guys don't know Pastor James Ray and Wendy, they're in the back right now, I think, with the children's ministry. We literally couldn't be where we're at today or be doing what we've been able to do without just the camaraderie, companionship, friendship, relationship that we've had with those guys. And I'll probably say this a few times, but I just want to say it straight up front. But I was talking with him and I told him, I says, you know, it's so odd because you blink and before you know it, 30 years goes by and everything changes and it's a whole new world. And I thought, you know, at the same time, though we've been doing this for 30 years, in some ways, it feels like 60. I mean, in some ways, it feels like 20. I mean, it's bizarre. I don't know how to describe it. But so you guys are going to be in for hopefully a treat, and it will be a time of encouragement for you. So with that being said, what I want to do right now is I'm going to pray real quick, and then I'm just going to start by reading a couple passages of Scripture that will be up on the screen for you. So you can just look at those, and I'll read them, and hopefully they will make some sense. And let me pray real quick, and then we'll just jump in. So Jesus, right now, we come to you, and we ask you that you would just open our hearts to just pause, to reflect, to consider who you are, your character, and what you're doing, your works of faithfulness. So God, right now, move over this time right now and take our hearts, no matter what state they're in, no matter what place they're in, whether they're apathetic or hardened or frustrated or battle-worn or just in need of a word of hope and encouragement. So pray, Father, this morning that you would just give us, each one of us, what we most desperately need to not just simply survive, but to thrive, because you are a God of life. You come breathing life, and we just want to receive that life that you give here this morning. We pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to begin just by reading a couple passages, and as I was thinking about this, like, Scripture is actually filled with pauses of remembrances of their history. And this happens all the time throughout their history. So for example, every holiday can be stated as just another form of reliving what God had done. And it's something unique about their history. It's always, they are typically either various stages of pure unfaithfulness to God or meager faithfulness. But either way, God takes whatever level of faithfulness that they're able to contribute, and he multiplies that. That's something way beyond they can ever even imagine, because he himself is the one that is the factor that is ultimately faithful to do what he's set out to do. But he uses human beings to accomplish his purposes and his tasks. And with that, there's two passages that really kind of come to my mind I want to reflect upon. Lamentations says this, I still dare to hope when I remember that the faithful love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Great is his faithfulness. The writer of Lamentations, he's reflecting upon a really dire state of the nation, of his life, conflict, challenges, hardships. It sounds like America, but it was another day and time, same type of story. But he's in the midst of that reflecting upon God's faithfulness. And I love the way that that was worded at the very beginning. I still dare to hope when I remember. For some of us, and it's really easy, especially in the day and age in which we live in, to lose hope entirely, But with God, Yahweh God, there's always still means of hope. And that comes through an act of remembrance. And this is exactly what he's doing here. And then Judges, this passage also has always been one that has spoken to me. The Lord turns to Gideon. He says to him, go with the strength that you have. I'm sending you in. If you're familiar with the story of Gideon, Gideon pushes back. He says, but Lord, how can I? My clan is the weakest. I am the weakest. And then he goes on to say, then the Lord speaks to him and says, but I will be with you. What I love about this, again, it's just another one of those classic examples, that God chooses human beings, human agents, to accomplish his work on this planet. Ultimately, primarily, in Jesus, but then God uses human beings like you and I to accomplish his works of righteousness and justice and goodness on planet Earth. And he's looking for people that are willing to say yes. He's not looking for perfect people. He's not looking for people that have it all together. He's not looking for people that have a massive, vast wealth of untapped resources to just make life happen. He's looking for people that are broken for the most part. That's all really God has to work with. And what God says right here to Gideon is just go with what strength you have. And again, I love how Gideon totally underestimates the strength that he has and kind of undervalues it. I don't have much. My family is pretty lame and I'm pretty lame, but you, and then God just, his whole point is like, I'm going to go with you. And that's been something that Sherry and I have treasured throughout the entirety of our lives, that we know that God will go with us and that we're just simply called to go with whatever strength we have or with whatever means that we have. God speaks to Moses, what's in your hand? Moses says, all I have is a staff. God says, good, that's all that I need. Take your staff in your heart, follow me, and I will use you. And so God takes what's in our hand, what meager strength that we have, and he multiplies that because at the end of the day, he is the faithful one. So with that being said, I thought it'd be kind of fun to reflect on a little bit of our story, the story of Calvary Slo, what happened, how it started. And the way I like to think of this is there's essentially, before I even jump into that, I want to, in case those passages don't connect with you the way hopefully they would, I'll quote from Lord of the Rings. It's a great passage. Gandalf actually comes to Bilbo Baggins, and if you remember that initial state, I think it's in The Hobbit when he comes and has his dialogue with him, and he introduces himself. Bilbo doesn't remember him. Gandalf obviously is this old guy, and he basically has his dialogue with him, and he invites him to come on this, you know, massive journey. And then Bilbo asked him, can you promise that I will come back? You know, he said, sure, I'll go on this like adventure with you, but will you promise that I can come back? And then Gandalf replies, he says, no, and if you do, you will not be the same. And I think, man, what a great statement it is to say, I'm going to follow Jesus wherever he's going to lead, and there's no guarantee of anything, no guarantees of anything except two things. One, that comes to my mind off the fly. One, God will always be with you as you walk with him and accomplish the assignments that he's called you to accomplish. And two, you will never be the same. There will be a different version of you 30 years down the road. Hopefully a more refined, a wiser, more experience-laden human being. But that's what you'll get. And if you're really, really careful, a non-cynical one. Life will kill you. Ministry will throttle you if you don't have a proper understanding, I think, of the grace of God. It will leave you cynical, embittered, angry. But there's ways out of that. And I think as we see that it comes through just leaning deeply into the very faithful presence of who God is and what God promises. All right, so I want to break this down into just basically five different stories. I'll go through these kind of quickly, five different ways or five different eras I like to think of that span the history of Calvary Slo. Number one is the scouting area. Number two, the home era when we were in our home. Three, SDA era, that stands for Seventh-day Adventist. Four is Hawthorne era. And the last one is the current era. So I'll just jump right into each one of these. Next slide, we'll kind of take a look at some of these. My daughter put together, by the way, this entire thing, which is great. Thank you, Brooke. She created this whole outline. So her sermon, I was going to have her preach it today, but she didn't want to. So she crafted all this for me. So I'm just kind of doing the sermon that she crafted. So this is a little bit of the map of various stages or spaces or eras that we found ourselves throughout the city here. Next slide. So this is a little bit of our scouting era. Yes, I don't know why I was like tethered to this camcorder, but back in 93, we came up here. We were scouting out San Luis Obispo. We had really no idea what God was going to do. We had a very clear direction that God was leading us to Slo. We had no family here. We didn't go to school here. People ask me all the time, did you go to Cal Poly? No, I didn't go to any school outside of high school. I barely graduated from my senior year of high school, but again, God takes what's there on the table as broken, as messed up, as unrefined, as raw material as it is, and he just uses it. So we had no family up here. There's really no reason whatsoever for us to move up to Slo. In fact, we didn't even know what Slo was. The only two things I think we knew about San Luis Obispo was that there was a pink hotel and a school. I actually thought it was right on the beach. Honestly, when we moved here, and I'm like, it's not like Santa Barbara, where it's like right on the beach. I can ride my bike to the beach. I was kind of bummed, to be really quite frank. I was like, I was looking for surf community where I can ride my bike to the beach. I envisioned myself like riding with my board under my arm and just going right there to the beach. And I get here, I'm like, it's not on the beach. It's kind of a bummer. So anyways, we spent some time praying, thinking about what this would look like, really wanting to make certain that this was God leading, fasting, praying, and just doing our little scout trips as we came up here. So again, that's for a story for another time. God very clearly confirmed that we were to be moving here on a number of different fronts, but I'm going to move on to the next thing. So right after we moved here, this would have been 93 in July-ish, we immediately started with what we had. Like I said, what we had. And I remember kind of doing an assessment of what did we have. We had a home right downtown, and we had food. Like, we can make food. So we can open up our house. We can have people over and make them food. And, you know, I'll do the best that I can, hack job-wise, of just teaching the Bible. And so that's what we did, is we just used what we had. And in some ways, like, Calvary Slow has never changed from this. It's always stayed the same in this respect. Like, we're still doing the same stuff. We're still having people over to our house. We're still providing food and just kind of hanging out. I'm still doing a hack job teaching the Bible. But we're just, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is sort of the baseline of what this is all about. So within the first 8 months or so, we totally, completely outgrew our house, and God was blessing. We had people sitting out front, outside, up our stairs. There's around 40, 50 people that were coming every Tuesday night. It was crazy. This was a tiny little apartment, and it was cool. So if you can see James and Wendy, they were very, very early on coming to that little Bible study there as well. So next slide. This is just, okay, so this is when we moved to Seventh-day Adventist Church. So shortly after, about 8 months later, we were kind of looking for something that might be able to accommodate a larger group. We weren't even really necessarily thinking about starting Sunday morning type services. Again, mind you, at this time, it was just a Tuesday night Bible study. And but at this time, we're also realizing God's doing something. There's a work of God that's happening within this early home era. We're keeping our eyes open for what the next steps are that God might be providing for us. And then God provided an opportunity for us to meet in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And we met there for many, many years. Next slide. It was a time for a lot of firsts for us. It was our first actual Easter service, our first like staff dinner. God started bringing staff members. I don't know if you guys know Cole Allshaus, Ryan Allshaus. There's James Winnie in the back right there. Ryan has been a drummer in our church for a long time. Cole has been all around doing amazing stuff, overseeing our books for a very, very long time. And it was our first baptism, our first men's retreat, first kids' church, first office. And if you guys know Aaron Abidia, AA, where's AA? Yes, AA. He was the guy, he was still playing keyboards up here. So still looks just as young and beautiful. So there we go. Next slide. Then after that, we literally outgrew the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We were up to three services there. It finally got to the point where the leaders of the church were like, look, we're stoked to have you guys here. We like having the partnership with you guys, but we feel like you guys are outgrown our facility. So God opened up a door for us to be able to meet at Hawthorne Elementary. This was our Hawthorne era, and it was just a really unique occasion to come together. We were there for about, I don't know, 7-8 years or so. Okay, next slide. And this is our current era, where God opened up doors in 2009 for us to meet here. This was a church called Vineyard or Mountain Brook that had been in the community for a long time. Now they're up on a hill. They have a building up there. And so we took over the building as they moved out of this building to their space as well. So this became kind of our new home up until the present. Next slide. Let me see, jog my memory, what's going on next. Here we go. Okay, so this is cool. This is, I think I mentioned to you guys a couple weeks, I want to read just a couple brief like words out of our very, very first Sunday morning gathering. My wife's really good at keeping journals, and she whipped out tons of ancient journals, and these are some of them. And I'm just going to read you a couple from our very, very first Sunday morning service. It says this: our first Sunday morning service, what a day to remember. God, you are so good. What a joy it was. The church you have provided is beautiful. The people you have brought are even more beautiful. We had about 35 to 40 people. Brian taught on the passage of keeping yourselves in the love of God. She went on to say, thank you, God, for your abundant blessings we received. She expresses some other cool stuff. And then she ends with this like little statement. She says, after church, a bunch of us went out and had lunch together at a place called Kona's. Anybody remember Kona's? Who remembers Kona's? Raise your hand. Okay, Kona's. It was like the best sandwich shop. It was like three. It was literally the quintessential college sandwich shop in all of SLO. It doesn't exist anymore. Wait, does it exist still? Still there? It's not as good as what it used to be, though, to be honest with you. Sorry if you're the owner here and you're here. No, it was like $3. It was like $3, and the sandwiches were massive. It was so good. Anyways, so yeah, there you go. So I thought, lastly, before we kind of move on and wrap things up shortly, I wanted to show you guys, we invited anyone that was interested in just kind of sharing some stories over the years. Calvary SLO has been this, like, reminiscent of the city of SLO, where we've seen so many people come through these doors. We've had different eras of watching God do really cool things in His church, and people leave, people go, they move away. It's just sort of the nature of San Luis Obispo, and it can be hard sometimes. And there were many seasons where it was extremely hard, because I would give the analogy, it's like building a sandcastle, where you can build this awesome sandcastle. It looks great, and you got all this detail, and like there's a window there, and that looks really cool, and all that design, that's featured there, you know. And then all of a sudden, a wave comes, and then you just have a mound, and you've lost all the detail, lost all the design work that was there, and just have a mound that we feel like we've gone through many, many waves of that in San Luis Obispo in our specific church, where we're just at a place where it's like, cool, we got a great group of people, and it's awesome, and certain things are working and functioning and whatnot, and then, oh, another wave came. Now we're just back to square one. Leaders are gone. Time to raise up new leaders and whatnot, and that gets really hard because it gets exhausting, and it's challenging. But at the same time, it also becomes cool because you see freshness and newness, and new people come, and it's there's a blessing element to it as well. And I remember years ago, and I'll end on this, and we'll go into a little video. I remember thinking about and probably even complaining that how challenging that was. And a friend of mine, who's actually in the video here, he made reference of Calvary SLO is like a launching pad. It's not a revolving door. I think I was using the analogy. It's like a revolving door. People come in, people leave. And then he's like, no. It's a launching pad. You send people out of here, and they're going all around the world and taking the work that God did in their heart of grace, and they're seeding that all around the world. They're taking the work of grace that God did here in this small city and then moving in really profound ways all around the world, which that was kind of a word of encouragement to me. So with that, we're going to show a little bit of the video and just buckle up and enjoy it. And hopefully, and then we'll end with some ideas of just what we're excited, announcement of what we're excited about going forward. And then we'll conclude with a time of just, in my opinion, the most important way of remembering the faithfulness of God, which is the Lord's Supper. So here we go.
Hey, Calvary SLO family, congratulations on making 30 years. My name is Dave Berry.
I'm Rachel Berry.
I began attending Calvary SLO in the summer of 1998.
And somewhere in 2001.
We served in different areas. I think my title was intern, high school pastor, middle school, college, I'm not entirely sure, but we served lots of different areas. Brian performed our wedding ceremony in
2004.
Yes. And then we moved out in 2005 up to the Pacific Northwest, church planted up in Portland, Oregon area for 13 years. And then the last 5 years we've been in Northern Arizona, Flagstaff. I'm the senior pastor at Flagstaff Christian Fellowship. Just wanted to share one anecdote. First day at Calvary SLO. Not a Christian background, didn't know what to expect, didn't think I had the right clothes to go to church, and showed up, and I remember that this young guy just got up and was talking forever about the book of Job, and he had a really fancy, handsome soul patch, and it turns out that was Brian. I thought only old guys preached, and Brian's not old now, but it was just a really great, the Lord saved me there at Calvary SLO, and through the ministry of the word, and so just thanking God for all his many years of faithfulness, and to Brian and Cherry and everybody. We love you guys. We met there. We love you guys.
Hi, Calvary SLO. We are so, so grateful to the ministry of Calvary and to all of the leadership and the people that we've gotten to know and walk with for these last 22 years. I got saved through Calvary SLO's ministry back in 2002. Was part of mission trips, short-term trips, back in 2003. They walked me through having a brain tumor, being healed from that brain tumor, and then allowed me to go and serve as a missionary in Hungary.
Yes, and I'm very thankful to be loved by Gabri Slo, marrying Leah and Brian encouraging me through the years, and Gabri Slo being faithful to support us to live out our calling here in Hungary. So we are very thankful for this church. I found my way into Gabri Slo as a freshman at Cal Poly in 1999. I was pulled in by this contagious community that was centered around Jesus, where the Spirit was moving. There was a priority on the Word, and there was just this lifestyle of worship that was embodied by all of the leadership there. It was in my time there at that church that I met my wife, and Rachel and I got to serve at Gabri Slo, be poured into by the leadership at Gabri Slo. In particular, Brian, you poured so much into me in such a short amount of time that really shaped who I am even to this day, and for that I am forever grateful. It was at that time, too, while we were there in Gabri Slo, that we really confirmed our call into full-time ministry and were launched from there, which is really the story of Gabri Slo. So many people have been launched out of there, where they have been poured into and then just sent across the globe to make much of Jesus and to live for his kingdom. And so I'm grateful for the 30 years that have been, and I am even more expectant for the next 30 years of Gabri Slo.
Hi, my name is Anna Robertson, and I live in Auburn, California. I attended Gabri Slo from 1998 to 2002. It was when I was at Cal Poly, and some of my favorite memories are the women's ministry and just how loved on I felt and welcomed when I came there, and just relationships formed and the things, just the sweet time that we had. But I also remember Sherry, Jen, and Wendy did an amazing engaged women's study, and I learned so much from that, and I took it into my the first few years of my marriage, and it was so helpful. The other thing I wanted to share is just that Brian married us, and the night before we got married, I asked Brian, I said, I don't care what you share, I just want you to share the gospel. And that's what he did, and it was so sweet. And we had people comment on just the message that was shared. And so I'm so thankful for my time at Gabri Slo, and I'm so excited for you guys as you continue to just impact lives and share God's word. And I just want to say happy anniversary.
Hey, Gabri Slo, my name is Tom Stowe, and I'm the pastor of Refuge Church in Chickasha, Oklahoma. And I want to say congratulations to you guys on 30 years of ministry. That is so amazing. Congratulations. I was a part of Gabri Slo for many years back in college, and then even post-college as a part of Pastor Brian's very first internship program. And so I got the opportunity to serve at the church and do all sorts of things there as a pastoral intern. And then later on, I was sent out as a missionary from Gabri Slo down to Brazil, which was pretty amazing. I met my wife in Brazil, who's Brazilian, got married, served the Lord down there for 15 years, and my kids were even born down there. And so this is pretty special because it was a connection that I got to go down there as a result of being a part of Calvary San Luis Obispo and being connected to Pastor Brian. So I want to say thank you to you guys. Thank you for everything you guys have done. And congratulations on 30 years. God bless.
Happy 30th anniversary, Gabri Slo. Wow, what a gift you've been to the community for so, so many years. And my name is Susan Pagel, and my husband Darren and I were able to attend Gabri Slo at the very beginning when it was a Bible study and dinner night in Brian and Sherry's home on Pismo Street. And what a gift that was to us. We were just finishing up our time at Cal Poly. We were both seniors, getting ready to graduate and get married. And we had the opportunity just to attend for just that little bit of time. And what a gift it was to us. I think we invited our friends James and Wendy to go to the Bible study too. And it was just such a sweet space, kind of in our finishing time at Cal Poly. And I always look fondly back on that. So thank you so much for deciding to move to Slo and plant this church that has been such a gift to the community.
Hey, Gabri Slo family, congratulations on 30 years of ministry impact on the Central Coast. I wish I could be there with you guys to celebrate. I had the joy of joining Gabri Slo in 2002. And gosh, for over 20 years of my life, you know, the impact that Gabri Slo has had has been incredible. Brian and Sherry and James, just thank you guys for your faithfulness to the Lord and the investment that you've made in my life and our family. We miss you guys as we relocated here to Kansas City, Missouri. It's been a new season of life, but we miss Calvary, the faithful teaching of God's word, the worship, the fellowship. I just think back to all the times, the baptism services at Avila or the beach days in Port St. Louis, just the fellowship after service has been just an incredible season of life. And so thank you for over two decades of investment in my life. Congratulations.
Kia ora. Nau mai haere mai. Ngā mihi o te wā. Greetings from New Zealand. Aotearoa. Land of the long white cloud. I met Brian probably back in about 93, maybe 94. About surfing. Atascadero State Beach. This guy with kind of floppy hair, good looking fella, prances up to me and asks if I was a Christian. Seems I had put a little fish sticker on my board or whatever, not really thinking about it. And Brian and I got to talking, and he scratched my phone number in the wax of his board. And when I got home, there was a message for me on my old cassette answering machine. And Brian had left me the details of a Bible study that he and his wife Sherry were starting, and me and my young wife Jabron showed up and never looked back. Been serving the Lord here in New Zealand ever since, about 20 something years now, and just thankful for having met them. So congratulations, guys, on 30 years, and keep up the good work. God bless you.
Happy birthday, Calvary Slow. I hope you guys have such a special morning together, looking back at all that God has done in the last 30 years. And as your hearts are stirred with faith on all that God is going to accomplish in the next 30. I was an 18-year-old college student when I first stepped foot in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and my heart was never the same. I began spending time with Sherry, and she discipled and really poured her life and her heart into me, and I just got to see up close what a real live Christian woman looked like. And it was so powerful in my life, and I'm so grateful for the Supars and their friendship. And I just remember being a sponge and being so transformed by just their lives, the way they loved Jesus and served people, and the way they loved me and took care of me. And I'm just so grateful. I've gleaned so much. I served in ministry for the last 18 years, and so many times would call Sherry or just remember an encounter that I would observe and see her love and her her devotion to Jesus poured out to you all. And so I am so grateful for all that God has done in and through my life in Calvary Slough. And I'm we love you guys so much. Happy birthday.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Darren here. I became a believer at Calvary Slough back in 2008, and as a college freshman. And now I'm here in Mexico. I've been in Mexico for the last 15 years serving as a missionary, an orphanage for youth that are aging out of the foster care system, that turning them into professionals. And all thanks to Calvary Slough for the discipleship and friendship and all that stuff.
Judy Crafton, been attending Calvary Slough since 2006 for about 18 years. It's been my church home. I'm married to my husband Jake, and we have 5 kids. We're involved in the children's ministry and in the preschool class. And I have so many good memories of Calvary Slough. We've been a part of some really incredible community groups that have become like family to us. They've been the people who really have held us up during really hard times. I'd say one of my very favorite memories, though, is going to Brazil in 2007 with our church, with James and Wendy and with some others, and getting to put on a baseball camp and just minister to the Brazilians. It was such an amazing trip, and really opened my eyes and my heart to the mission field and what that all entails. So we love Calvary Slough, and we are so thankful for all of you, and happy 30th anniversary.
Hey, Calvary Slough, my name is Nick Weber. I was a part of the church there probably 20 years ago now. I still remember the day I first walked into one of the church's gatherings. I don't even think I was a believer at the time. They were meeting in an elementary school, and some guys from my dorm or whatever had invited me to come check it out, and they were ministering to me, trying to reach me for Jesus. And I remember going in and just being struck by the worship, by the honest, authentic engagement that was happening in that room. And I just remember thinking, man, God, if he does exist, he's in this place. Calvary SLO is where I got saved. Calvary SLO is where I started to feel called to pastoral ministry. And Brian and James mentored me and gave me opportunities to preach and minister things that, I mean, I don't even know, you know, I'm a pastor now in San Jose. I don't even know if I would be here if it wasn't for the internship and the ways that these guys were willing to trust me before they probably should have. I know Brian and Sherry invested in my marriage, and Brian officiated the wedding for us. And even to this day, just this morning, I was talking with Brian on the phone. He continues to mentor and care for me and my family, and it's just amazing. So if you're there currently celebrating, man, enjoy what you have around you, because it's really precious. What an awesome, awesome thing it has been to be a part of Calvary SLO for a little while. God bless you guys.
Hello, Calvary SLO family. We are Morgan and Lori Jones, and we were a part of Calvary SLO starting in 2005 when we moved back to California so I could finish school at Cal Poly. And Calvary SLO was the first church we visited and the only church we visited. We immediately felt at home. We loved the teaching, and we were really blessed by the community. In 2009, we were sent from Calvary SLO to East Asia, and we've been here since then and have just loved having the relationship with Calvary SLO. So congratulations on 30 years. Your impact is reaching all over the world.
Yeah, and I just want to say one of my favorite memories was when Brian and Sherry made it out here, and we got stuck in the rain and mud, and Brian had a drive in Asia, and you really just need to ask him to show you the video of us getting stuck. But love you guys. Happy anniversary.
Hey, Calvary SLO. This is Hazen Lisa Freeman coming to you from Atlanta, Georgia.
Let's see. We were part of Calvary SLO in the late 90s and early 2000s, with the highlight probably being married by Pastor Brian in November of 1998.
We are so grateful for God leading us to Calvary when we were dating, going through our engagement and our early marriage years. It was so fundamental in helping us stay grounded in the Word, be connected to Jesus, learning about Jesus, being with like-minded people. It was a phenomenal way to start our marriage, and we're very grateful for that.
We do consider ourselves to be the founders of the coffee ministry there at Calvary SLO. We hope it's still going strong. We don't get any more email updates on it, but we're sure it's still cruising along. And I'd say that we got as foundational to our marriage at Calvary, just being intertwined with the body of Christ, and we've continued to live that way here in the Atlanta suburbs. So congratulations to Brian and Sherry and Calvary SLO.
Love you guys.
That's pretty cool. So we had a lot of video submissions that we were not able to obviously keep everything in there. So at some point over the next few weeks or so, we'll be providing those up on social media and whatnot. So just be on the lookout for that in case you submitted one. You're like, why was mine rejected? It wasn't rejected. We just had very limited space. So anyways, thank you for all who submitted those. Lastly, before we kind of move towards closing off this morning, I was thinking about, in terms of God's faithfulness, the whole idea of looking at and reminding ourselves, whether it be within a scriptural context, what God has done, is the mindset goes something like this. Like, if God has been faithful in the past, then certainly God will be faithful in the present, and for sure God will be faithful in the future. So I can train my heart to not be in a state of anxiety. At least that's the theory. That's the way it works. And I was thinking, like, because God has done so much over the past 30 years and shown himself strong and grace-filled and empowering people to live out the gospel all around the world. He's going to continue to do that. We're excited about what that will look like. And to kind of conclude or to pivot, I think, towards sort of a conclusion of this morning, thinking about the future, as I mentioned, one of the things I wanted to share and announce to you guys, we're really excited about bringing the church family into the bigger picture of like what God is doing here in Calvary Slo in the next few, however many years to come. With that involves, as many of you guys know, we've had some like lack of staff elements over the past few months, if not a year or so. And we've been praying not just for those specific areas, but even way beyond that, like years and years and years in the making, that God would provide certain gifts and skill sets for our church community to just continue to do what God's called it to do. And we're really excited to just announce to you guys, we've shared this with our leadership team. Our elder team has been in a months-long process of prayer and conversation and relationship building. But I want to share with you guys officially right now just the introduction of Ricardo and Lulu. Why don't you guys come on down, Velarde? They are going to be coming on staff, joining our team. We're really excited. Lulu will be leading our children's ministry. She will be our children's ministry director. Very excited about this. And then Ricardo will essentially be our operations director, overseeing everything, everything that just needs to get done. Like, I like to dream and create and make curriculum and do nerdy stuff and research. But when it comes to, like, how we get stuff done, like, this is, we've had a need for something like this for a long time. So I'm really excited about Ricardo. Why don't you guys just say something real brief about who you are? I'd love to pray for them. And
how's it going, guys? Congratulations on 30 years.
Thanks.
And we're just so grateful. We're stoked to be here. My name is Ricardo and my wife Lulu. We've been married 17 years. We have four kids. I think she's going to plan to keep me, so that's great. And we have four kids. David, our son, he's 12. Larissa, she's 10. Our daughter Vanessa, she's 8. And Ariana, she's 6. And we have our mother-in-law here with us, Carmen. So we're so grateful to be here with you. Looking forward to all the great things. And we just been praying, talking every week with Pastor, and just seeing how God has brought our hearts together and a heaviness for this place and this city. And we're looking forward to come alongside and serve and listen and love and kind of be able to lead together. So,
amen. So excited to be part of the team. Excited to see what God has done, he's doing, and he will do. I'm so excited to be part of that in children's ministry. As you can tell, with four kids, I'm all about kids and get them to know more of the Word of God. If they know Jesus, we'll introduce them to Jesus and see them passionate in worship and the Word, and let the kids open the Word of God. So I'm excited about that, to be part of what God has done and doing, and it's excited for the future, too. And that's it.
Thank you. I'm gonna pray for these guys, and then we're going to conclude with some worship and communion. So, Jesus, thank you so much for the work that you are doing. We look forward to this new chapter of where you are opening up for us. We are excited, Lord, to walk with you into what you have to yet unfold. We just want to be the type of people that say, yes, Lord, yes and amen to all that you have, regardless of what's in our hand, regardless of how ill-equipped we feel, or regardless of how unable or incapable we may be. You are a God that's always faithful to give us exactly what we need. So we pray for these guys right now. We ask, God, that you would help them to work into those areas, Lord, that you've called them, to give them vision and glimpses of what you want them to do, and provide for them a house for them as well. Just let all those types of things come into place for them. So we entrust them in their journey into your hands, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. And listen, how about the worship team come on down, and as Worship team is coming on down. These guys are going on down as well. Worship team is coming on up. These guys are going on down. How about we all stand? I just want to mention to you guys as well. Three different things. Number one, just continue to pray for these guys as they are making. They're not living in Slo yet, so they're looking for a house. This is the power of networking. If you know somebody, or you have somebody that you know somebody who knows somebody that might have a house or something like that, they're looking for like a 3-bedroom type thing, obviously to accommodate their family. Please let them know. Talk with them. This is sometimes the way that God works. It just someone knows somebody that knows somebody, and so if you know that. And then secondly, you know, continue to pray for them, as I mentioned, and then thirdly, get to know them. Just say hi to them. Immediately following the service, we're going to have some time to celebrate and some cookies and refreshments and cake and from Madonna Inn. It's going to be a lot of fun. I would love for you guys to just stick around and enjoy some extended time. Now we're going to just spend a little moment in communion. I can't think of anything better to do than to just turn our hearts now to really consider really the very central reality of what this is all about. This church community here, at its very core, is about Jesus, what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Like, we would not be here. We just finished up Easter, and the reality is that without the resurrection, there would be no plausible reality of which you can believe in Jesus. It just would not make sense. It would just be nothing more than a fanciful story. But because Jesus rose again from the dead, because he accomplished what he accomplished on the cross and rose again from the grave, we have hope. We have an opportunity to press into all that God has, because he is a living God and he brings dead things back to life. He takes lives that are bent towards sin, bent towards wrong ideology, bent towards narcissistic tendencies, bent towards selfishness. He's able to take our lives and turn us into something brand new. And as we partake in the communion together, that's something that we're going to just now pause to reflect upon. So the way that we're going to do this morning is, rather than you guys coming forward the way we oftentimes do it, we're just going to have the ushers, they will hand a little basket to you. Receive it. If you would like to receive it, just take one of those little cups. It does have the little wafer thing on top and then the little juice beneath. Hold on to that. We will all partake of it together. And then when we're done, still just hold on to it. And then maybe they'll either repass that thing around or carry it with you out and throw it away. Don't leave it on the seat, because someone else will have to clean it up. And nobody likes someone, that person that has to like making messes for everyone else. We do love you, but at the end of the day, we want to make sure that we all do our part. So anyways, it'll be an opportunity for us to all partake together. But one of the things we oftentimes say is that when we gather for the time of communion, we are reminded that Jesus sat down with his disciples to have a meal. And in this meal, he breaks bread, pours out a cup, which we'll get to in 2 seconds. But it was a way of inviting them to partake of his life. Part of partaking of his life is also connected to acknowledging my life that is lived independently from Jesus is, listen carefully, is the problem. The problem on planet Earth. I need you to hear that. My life that is being lived independently from Jesus is the problem on planet Earth. To partake of the meal is a way of saying, I want all in with what you've done. And that process involves an acknowledgement of my brokenness I bring to the table, and to repent from it, to confess it before Jesus. I like to think of communion as a time of spiritual house cleaning, confessing our sin to God, calling it what it is, and asking him to wash us and cleanse us. Scripture is really clear. He's faithful and just to forgive us. So as a practice right now, how about we just take a brief moment to just close our eyes, to confess your sin to the one who bore your sin on the cross. Just speak it to him in your own heart. Let's recite together this little prayer of confession. Almighty God, we have sinned against you and one another, in thought, word, and deed, in what we have done and in what we have left undone. Therefore, we confess our sin to you. And if you prayed that, you confess your sin. The next slide is this assurance of pardon. Scripture is pretty clear. Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new. All this is from God, who has reconciled himself to us through Jesus. So as we just now lift up our voice in song and consideration of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, as we maintain this posture of worship, receive the bread and cup, hold on to it, and then we'll partake together and we'll conclude. So let's sing.
Nails went through your skin. And a crown of thorns was fashioned for your head. Crimson mercy flowed. You offered up your life and took my death.
So on that night, Jesus sits with his disciples, and he reminds them that their story is about to become linked to his story. He was going to die. He was going to take upon himself, literally, the sin of the world. And this was his invitation to them to partake of him, not only in death of our life, but ultimately a new resurrection life. And the elements to remind them was the bread and cup. And he takes the bread, breaks it, gives it to them to eat, and then pours out the cup and gives it to them to drink. And it was something they all did together as a way of saying, yes, we're all in. So let's partake together. You guys doing okay with that? Jesus' whole aim is to create a family, and that family would be given his presence to go. In closing, I want to encourage you to think about what assignments has God called you into. What are ways in which maybe you're wrestling with God? Like, I don't have the ability, I don't have this, or I don't have that, I don't have the training. There's nothing unique necessarily about our story. Our story, as you can see, is repeated in lots of other different people's stories as well. Just said, yes, Lord. And they go to San Jose or Hungary or New Zealand and wherever and just begin the story of God's grace unfolding through them wherever it is they are. The same is true for the church, for every member of the church, all the way back to the very beginning. We are a community of people that's been built upon the legacy of, number one, God's faithfulness. Number two, God's faithfulness to broken people. And that continues to this day. So my prayer for you as I close, that you would step into that fully, completely. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for the work that you're doing here. May you continue this work as we step into this new chapter of what you have for us. Empower us, Holy Spirit, for what you've called us to walk in obedience. And we pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Guys, listen, in closing, real quick, if you have need for prayer for anything, would love to spend some few moments praying with you. I'll be up in the front. We'll have some other leaders in the front. Number two, if you'd like to get plugged in any way, shape, or form. Also, men, this Wednesday is our men's group. If you're a dude that's been around here for any length of time, and you hear me say this all the time, and if you get tired of hearing it, do something about it. Like, seriously, do something about it. Get involved. Get plugged in. Step into all that God has. I'd love to have you come on out. This Wednesday is our men's group. I'd love to see you this Wednesday at 7:30 for the men's group. And if you'd like any more information about what's going on in our church, how to get plugged in, meet some people in the front, little welcome table to get you all the information that you need. And then lastly, as we say this oftentimes, we are a crowdsourced church or family-sourced church. The way that we do what we do is by the generous gifts of you guys. And those of you that contribute, thank you. There's never any obligation to, but if you'd like to, these are just simple ways in which you can do that. Helps us do what we do. Helps us continue to pour forth to the mission of Jesus, kingdom-building work on Central Coast and beyond. So thank you for that. And as we close, may the grace, mercy, and peace from the triune God be yours as you step into it. Feel free to stick around. We'll have some cake afterwards. Make your way over to the little fellowship hall. Would love to meet you. Never met you. God bless you guys.
Forgive us of all of our sin, and give us the grace to forgive when we have been sinned again. Restore us, renew us again. Give us the meekness to heal. Give us the mercy to mend. Forgive us all our sins.
I always hate it when I'm inspired by people.
As we ourselves forgive.
All of a sudden, I put to flight. When I